Ben Oakley. Welcome to Tabby Hour.
Thank you.
It's awesome to be here.
Yeah.
We finally made it happen.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes, it has been. So you and I have been friends for 15 years now.
Yeah.
And you just recently moved all the way across the country to be in South Carolina. What do you think so far?
Couldn't be happier. You know, my wife and I, we were living in Seattle. And the last 18 months or so has been hard on everybody across the country, of course, with COVID and lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, for us, we're outdoor people. We love community. We love to be with friends. We love to have friends over for dinner. And as we went through that whole process, we experienced a bit of loneliness in that process. And Seattle's an interesting place. I went to school at the University of Washington, so I've been there since I was 18 years old, and it's a huge part of my home. But we have this thing in Seattle called the Seattle Freeze, and people just don't talk to each other that much. It's a tough city. Until you've been there, you don't know what it is. And it was exacerbated during COVID. With isolation, with masking, whatever it may be. And Renee and I found ourselves, Renee's my wife, and, you know, we found ourselves in Charleston, South Carolina, in Thanksgiving of last year. 70 degrees on the beach.
Yeah. I was there.
And you were there. And, you know, it was one of those things that it was the first time we might want to live somewhere else. And a lot of our friends had moved out of Seattle, and we were, you know, for a big part of our lives, like I said, community is a huge part of it. And you've been a part of my community.
Yep.
You showed up in Charleston when we went down there, and you had just met your now wife.
Yeah.
You know, and we,
that you officiated the wedding.
I know. Bro, that was one of the biggest honors of my life.
It was great.
I was one
did
of the
such
biggest
a good job. You did a really good job.
So anyway, it, you know, all that being said, you know, we made the decision. We came out here and visited, obviously, you guys. And there's a town in Washington State called Spokane, and I used to live there as well. And a lot of similarities. Kind of a small town, but big enough. Really cool downtown. Waterfront park. Good restaurants. But there was a different vibe here, and there was a different community feel here that when we came and visited you guys, we just fell in love with. And, you know, Renee and I grew up loving country music. We loved going lion dancing. Our first date was a Garth Brooks concert, you know, and there was just something that when we came to South Carolina, and in particular, when we came to Greenville, that just tapped into our hearts and a little bit into our souls. And obviously, you know, we knew at the end of the day, we knew you and we knew, you know, your wife.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is we've met more people and built more community here in 3 months than we did in 5 years in the Seattle region.
Well, it's easy to start a conversation with anybody.
It is. And I think culturally that's true. And yeah. I think that in business, that's true. There's just an openness that is here. And Renee and I were talking about it the other night. We are absolutely delighted to be here. And we feel like we're home. And that's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, it's been such a kind of a pivot since the day you've moved. Or I remember going back to Charleston. You know, I had just met Georgia. You guys, you and I hadn't seen each other in probably 5 years. Mm-hmm. And as I moved to Greenville from Cincinnati, as Roy moved to Greenville from Dallas, you guys move like right at the same time from mm-hmm. Seattle, as we're also building Tabby.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, after Charleston, we had planned 2 months later, you guys came back to Greenville. Yep. And stayed with George and I. And I was like, hey, man, I've been thinking about this thing that I want to tell you about. And what if you could close in a bar tab as easy as you can get out of an Uber? It's like, yeah, that would be pretty cool. And then I had kind of showed you the prototype I had mocked up and built, and you're like, yeah, that would be pretty cool if you could make that work. If that could be a real thing one day, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward probably a year now. Mm-hmm. We're going to the App Store in January.
Yeah.
You guys bought a house here, sold most possessions in Seattle, moved across the country with your family, and now we're gonna do it.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, to me, Tabby, as I thought about it over the last 9, 10, 11 months, Tabby has a unique idea. There's tangible aspects to it, but I think on a bigger picture, Tabby is about community. And it's about building community. And it's about, there's practical applications. Yes, we want to close our bar tab. It is archaic that I have to give someone my credit card in a bar.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason I shouldn't be able to look across the room and see you and be able to see who you are.
Yeah.
We have a digital. I love the aspects of that. And that's what Tabby's going to be really going to bring together. But I love the aspect that the company that's being built is built and based in community.
Yeah.
We're here to do it together. You know, I'm selling my business.
Yeah.
I moved my family of four across the country to come do this because I want to do that with you and to support you. And obviously, as I've met Roy and I've met others, I feel the same way, you know, and I've, you know, for me personally, just kind of getting started in really diving into more details into the background of Tabby, you know, what I love about what Greenville brings and the idea of it and why Tabby is perfect for this community. And obviously it's going to be broad, much, much broader than that, is it brings people together. It unites people in the context of their community. It's not just about hooking up with somebody across the bar, you know, or not across the bar, but in your, you know, you get what I'm saying. It's about how do I meet that person across the room in a real way? I'm not posting content on there to raise a political discussion or throw off some rant. No, I'm introducing you to me as a real person. I just get to do that digitally, which in our generation and in particularly the next generation is huge. I have a 14-year-old. She lives on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Love her to death. I don't always love it, but it's the world and it's reality for them. And we have to find a way to use that for good. And I think Tabby has the ability to do that. We all go out. We love have fun. We love having fun. But it has the ability to connect people that we may not necessarily know who we really should know within our own communities at the bars and restaurants that we already go to. I think that's cool.
Well, and that as the privacy was number one, mm-hmm. as this has evolved, the first question everybody asks is privacy. Okay. And, you know, as Roy and I've thought through that, we have a responsibility of, you know, we're putting something out into the world that realistically millions of people are going to be using. There's a responsibility with, you know, giving people the ability to turn that off, giving people the ability to block and restrict people for safety and privacy. And, you know, versus just knowing where somebody's at, we've done a pretty good job of keeping it to where the risk is no more than being in the same room with somebody else, right? Yeah. Like if I'm in the same room as you, then you know where I'm at, which is not a big deal. But in a sense of, you know, kind of almost eliminating anonymity to where I can look across the room and say, that's Ben Oakley. Or Ben, if you decide to share your last name, you can. And this is, you know, just the things about you, a quick snippet of who you are. Yeah. But then the ability to send you menu items, drinks, all through a digital platform has never been done before.
It hasn't been done, which is amazing.
Yeah.
That it hasn't.
It's low hanging fruit. It's so obvious and easy. In plain sight.
Yeah.
It's not some magical thing. It's
Well, and I appreciate the fact that you guys have, you're cognizant of the fact that privacy is a big deal.
Yeah.
And that you're building that in, you know, that you're the again, kind of going to the 30,000 foot level. I love that the company that's being built, that's behind the scenes, it's not just about profits. It's not about, I mean, obviously everyone wants to make money. That's what we're all here to do too.
Right.
But you guys are just cognizant of the fact that privacy is a big deal, the community is a big deal, and that the motivation and the heart behind what is being built is good.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when I look at a lot of other social media platforms, it's not necessarily about that. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now that's very interesting in the tech world. And,
yeah.
And it's, I don't know necessarily know that it has my 14-year-old's best interest in mind. And I think, to me, Tabby has an ability to redeem a little bit of that and go back to a simpler idea of social media where it truly is community-based and it is about connecting people. Yes, we're going to save time. We're going to close bar tabs. But we're going to connect with people in our community that coming out of the post-COVID world is sorely lacking and deeply needed.
Yeah.
You know, you look at prescription drugs and you look at depression rates and anxiety rates, they're through the roof right now. And if there's a factor where Tabby will have an impact on that, it will, because it's going to connect people together. The community is prime for this idea and the ability to connect with others without necessarily, you know, I'm an awkward guy at times.
Yeah.
I was never the guy, never once in my life did I hit on a girl at a bar. And my wife jokes with me all the time that I get hit on, but I don't have a clue that it's happening. And
or you just,
I'm oblivious to it. I'm just oblivious to it.
Yeah.
And so for me, the idea of being able to send a message, you know, if I was a single guy again, I see a cute girl, I want to send her a drink. I can do that through a digital introduction. That gives me hope. you know what I'm saying?
For the next generation.
It does. There's hope. You know, like I love my 14-year-old, but you know, like she's outgoing at times, but she's kind of quiet and reserved at times. And you know, the fact that she would be able to do that herself too.
Yeah.
You know, we always as guys think about, oh, I'm going to go hit on the girl or I'm going to send her the drink. Well, this creates maybe even a safety for girls to do too. Yeah.
It eliminates the awkward public rejection.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no walk of shame back to your friends.
Yeah.
From across the bar.
Yeah.
You're able to shoot your shot safely from the comfort of your friends.
Yep.
And then the recipient can kindly accept or decline.
Yeah.
Or block.
Mm-hmm.
And it humanizes a digital social experience, mm-hmm. which is interesting. And it's interesting to see, you know, Greenville is the perfect city for this app. It's the going out city. And when Roy and I first moved here, a lot of great nights just going out and exploring the town. You and I have had good nights out with friends. But it's got something for everybody. If you're the single college kid that's going out with your friends, if you're the young professional going out with your girlfriend, if you're old married guys like us going out with your wives, there's something for everybody but Tabby fits into all of those scenarios as well. It also fits into kind of just the lifestyle and the brand of people going out, experiencing a football game, experiencing a concert, experiencing a movie, through the whole process. So moving from Seattle to Greenville, much smaller city.
Yeah.
What are some things that you really love about Greenville? Maybe some things you miss about Seattle. And then what are some of the most unique things you see here?
You know, I mean, for us, again, number one is community. People are just nicer here.
Yeah, there's a lot more of them in Seattle, but maybe not.
There's a lot of people in Seattle, and there's a lot of studies out there that talk about, you know, that the more populated things get, the more people actually become distanced. You would think it'd be opposite, but there's studies in rats that even that talk about that. But
yeah.
it's very fascinating. But, you know, for us, you know, we've gotten to know more of our neighbors, for example, than we ever got to know in Seattle, people dropped off gift baskets when we first moved into our house. You know, I mean, the idea of this, what do you call it? Southern hospitality is a real thing. You know, I think that's for us, that was the biggest thing. My wife has loved every minute of that. So my 14-year-old, you know, one of the biggest things for her is she's been thriving here. She started high school. You know, it's a hard time for any teenager. But what I found is, you know, we had a nice community outside of Seattle. It was a town called Duval. And she had made some good friends there in a short period of time that we were actually in that community. But moving here, she has been embraced in a way that she didn't even quite realize. And so, you know, as a parent, obviously for us, that's a big deal. And I think that's indicative of this community. You know, there's just a welcome. People they're just nicer. You don't hear as many horns being honked at people while driving. I mean, driving down Woodruff Road sucks.
Depends on where you're at.
You know, no, I know. But, you know, it's, you know, obviously being anytime you're moving to a smaller community, traditionally it's going to be, people are just more friendly and more welcoming. You know, obviously there, in some cases, the food's a little better in Seattle, the seafood's a little bit better, but down here, frankly, we haven't had a bad meal yet.
Did you guys have any experience with the riots or anything out there?
Yes. And that, frankly, as a family, that was one of the reasons we decided to move.
It's crazy.
For us, it was, you feel what you want about the whole deal. But, you know, when it comes to actual safety and it comes to what do I want my kids to grow up in?
Yeah.
The writing was on the wall that for at least a while, it was going to get worse before it was going to get better. You know, and sometimes I think there's seasons in our lives, in every one of our lives, where, you know, we own a business in Seattle. It made zero sense on paper for us to leave Seattle.
Yeah. A successful business.
A successful business. At record year. We even grew in COVID years, you know, where most businesses struggled. You know, but I think that's, well, part of it, you know, that's the attractiveness to me with Tabby is I'm willing to move my family across the country. One, it's not for the business. It's to be in community with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that involves Tabby now. But that's at the heart of Tabby, and that's what I love about it, is that the core function and the core mission of the business is community, and to help build that and facilitate that.
Well, and even as we meet guys like Jeremy and Chris, who've been on the podcast, and, you know, their business society, mm-hmm. sandwich and...
Which is delightful.
Though. Delightful. But it's just finding people with a common... kind of set of core values that you can really dive in and go, okay, we're going to be friends first.
Yeah.
And then we're going to figure out how to be in business together.
And I think that's lacking in today's world.
Yeah.
You know,
people always say, don't go into business with your friends. It's because they're not truly friends before.
Right. I try not to argue with you when you're right. You know, but it's interesting contrasting that because, you know, growing up and obviously in the last, let's just say 10 years in the tech world of Seattle. I mean, I wasn't working in tech, but being in business there, owning a business, and it's just different.
Yeah.
You know, and it is very money driven. I mean, there's these 22-year-olds coming straight out of college that are making $150,000, $170,000 a year, staying for 2 years and switching from Amazon to Google, taking their stock options because they're vested at that point. I mean, it's very good for them.
Yeah.
It's the free market. It's great. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to what does Ben want as a business owner and what I've tried to implement into my business for the last 5 years, which caused us to grow so much, is this idea of taking care of people.
Yeah.
Loving your employees, being in their lives. And I love that the idea in the team behind Tabby is that at the end of the day, taking care of employees, taking care of each other, is more important than profits. Profits are tremendously important because a business has to make money, and we should all core value. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, leaving Seattle, people don't value this idea of entrepreneurship because the rich just don't pay their fair enough in taxes or whatever. I don't want to get political with this whole thing, but there's a idea here. I mean, there's a reason Boeing moved here from Seattle
yeah
to Charleston, right? there's this idea that we want and we encourage this idea. And Greenville's, it's evident here that they want businesses to be successful. Where in Seattle, we were running into a situation where it was constant roadblocks and constant of a guessing game. What is the legislature going to do? What's our city going to do? Whether it's related to taxes or regulation or whatever. There was a threat that our business was going to close last year because of all the lockdowns.
Yeah.
You know, and so to be in a community that, you know, respectfully to the COVID pandemic, what I viewed as it was a very reasonable response. We're going to be safe and we're going to, where we left a situation where it was very overbearing. And so, you know, that's, again, not being too political with it, but those are realities as a business owner. And this community is different in that, and it is common sense, and it is supportive of the business community and entrepreneurs and people who want to make money, because, and then others will make money doing it,
yep,
are not demonized. And I think that's a big deal. And I think that's a national debate that's going to go on for a while. But, you know, contrasting the situations, when you say what is Greenville, how is it unique? That is a unique setting. Entrepreneurship, business, making money so that others can make money as well and have good paying jobs is valued here. And we saw the writing on the wall. Unfortunately, I love Seattle. I absolutely adore Seattle. I wouldn't have spent, I've been there since I was 18, other than a couple of years here and there, you know. It's unique. And I think it needs to be cherished and protected that way. And my wife feels that way, as you know, we own the business together. To me, that's a big deal in being here with you and your wife and talking about Tabby and,
yeah,
you know, helping create a business and all that in a different level. You know, this is the place to do it. In Greenville, I don't know. You one of those times, the stars just align.
Yeah.
You know,
let's talk about what your business is. So, I mean, obviously you guys are transitioning,
yeah,
to the
yeah, I mean, we own, as you know, we own a mobile phlebotomy company. We own there's a company called Apps Paramedical, and Apps is the largest exam company in the country, and Renee and I for the last 5 years have owned the Seattle territory. It's not a franchise, lack of a better term, people would understand it as a franchise. Grown tremendously. For the last 5 years, we've been the fastest growing office in the country of about 100 and something offices. And frankly, it's our people that have made that happen. And my wife and I we take a lot of pride in the fact that that has happened. And it's because we've loved on our people. And I do think that's lacking in business today.
Yeah. That's one thing that Roy and I have really cherished coming from Waffle House. Mm-hmm. You know, I give a pretty big shout out to the Rogers family and kind of they've built quite a management program at Waffle House. And it comes from good operators, good fundamental of business operations, restaurant operations. Mm. You know, there's nothing glamorous about Waffle House. You can be in a senior level position making well over six figures a year, and you're still going to be taking the trash out, washing dishes, and in the trenches with your team. That there's something that never changes. I just saw a post yesterday from Thanksgiving where Walt, the CEO of Waffle House, was in a restaurant on Thanksgiving Day. And they do a really good job of cultivating a culture that you take care of your team. You know, the higher in the hierarchy that you are, the more work you're going to do. And the more responsibility you have. Truly. It's not just, oh, well, I'm going to need you to come in this weekend because you work for me. It's the servant leadership mindset is something that Roy and I valued when we were there. And we'll carry into business for the rest of our lives. And you guys do a good job of that. You know, Renee and yourself have taken some big L's for the good of your team. Yeah. You know, personal gain is not the mentality, and it's really more focused on what's best for the team. And I mean, obviously moving the ball forward or moving the business forward, but sometimes it's just like, how do we get through the day? How do we get through the week? And what can I do to truly make you feel cherished as an employee? And I think you guys do a really good job of that.
I appreciate you saying that. I mean, the reality is it pays dividends.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it to me, there's no other way. You know, I had a great mentor in the business world, a guy named Kevin Parker. I worked for him. Actually, he was a state representative and I ran his political operation for a lot of years, but he owns about 12 Dutch Bros coffees, which have just been exploding on the West Coast.
Yeah. They just IPO'd.
They just IPO'd, did very well. But you know, he teaches financial literacy to his employees. They have a whole management program that he's created, and he's done it through Whitworth University, Gonzaga University, and Harvard and MIT. But you know, I've had a great mentor in that process. And we've tried to at least apply to the best of our knowledge, the principles of, and at the end of the day, it's just the old adage, love people and love your neighbor. I mean, it's just love your neighbor, love yourself. Take care of people.
It's interesting.
Because people, what is it? The statistic, 90% of people quit jobs because of the person that's managing them. They don't quit the job because they hate the job. They hate the person they work for.
Well, there was an old saying that people don't work for Waffle House. They work for whoever the direct line supervisor is. And it doesn't only apply to employees, though. It applies to customers.
Yeah.
So you can build something that's really cool, Tabby. Mm-hmm. But if there's not customer support, if there's not customer, Amazon, obviously one of the biggest companies in the world, does a really good job of customer service. Mm-hmm. If something goes wrong, they always take, I've had things delivered that weren't even mine. I've called like, hey, can I drop this off? And they're like, no, just keep it. We've already shipped another one to the person that's missing it. Or I've got shipped the wrong thing. And it's like, just keep it.
Well, you know, and the core value that I see there is the idea of accountability.
Yeah.
You know, owning your mistakes. You know, we draw blood in our business. We schedule.
There can be a lot of mistakes
when it comes to that. FedEx can miss a shipping, you know. I mean, the amount of letters I've had to send out, it's not that many, but at least some where it's like, we don't know where your package is. It included your lab slip and your blood, you know, not a high risk.
We need more blood.
But I got to come out and redraw your blood. I'm sorry, you're going to have to put another metal stick in your arm.
Yeah.
But when you just call people, you know, and I learned that, frankly, in working for Kevin in politics, you know, it when he would have a really aggressive email that would come in, you're this and that, he would just call the person. And it was amazing. It's
so disarming.
Yeah. You know, and I think there's just core values of that accountability and being able to be transparent. And I think, you know, going back to Tabby a little bit in this idea of, well, one of my core values is authenticity. Yep. And it creates this ability to be authentic. And you can create your own world on Twitter. You can create your own world on Facebook. You can create your own world on
Metaverse,
whatever. Great. But nothing will replace this conversation. Yeah. A digital introduction can maybe make that easier for an awkward guy like me in a bar setting. But at the end of the day, it creates this ability to have a conversation. And I think that's just sorely lacking in our community. And I think the authenticity that can create, and frankly, the fact that it forces somebody to become authentic, because at the end of the day, you can't hide behind a profile. We can't hide behind a degree from Clemson University. Yet at the end of the day, we still have to have this conversation. And I love the mix there that Tabby can bring.
Well, that's one thing we're working really hard to integrate right now is account verification. Hmm. You know, the idea of Tabby is that I can see you in person and then match you to your profile. Mm. So in a world of, you know, bots and different fake accounts on Instagram and people, you know, trolling accounts, we're being very careful to make sure that the picture is the person verified with. There's multiple different APIs out there to verify. We're even looking into verifying with a photo ID. There's program interfaces that can verify a driver's license to say this person is in fact 21. This person is in fact who they say they are.
I ordered my birth certificate from the state of Colorado last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to upload my ID. When I bought a mortgage, I had to upload my ID. Right. It exists.
But that's, I mean, for a social platform, we're creating authenticity.
Yeah.
That I can look across the room that, you know, we talk about the value of the blue check mark as we move into a metaverse world with NFTs and all these fun things that you and I can sit and talk about that most people aren't even thinking about.
Right.
But we're, you know, we want to create an authentic experience for the user, but also for the bar to say, we know who's in my organization. Yes, it eliminates anonymity, but we also create the privacy layer that it almost creates more security. It's safer to know what's happening around.
Flesh that out. Like what do you mean? Like how does that happen?
Well, I mean, you can walk into any bar, restaurant, busy place in downtown Greenville on a Friday night, and you don't know who anybody in there is. You may be in a new city, you may be in your hometown, but if you're walking into these busy places, you can just start walking up and talking to people, but that's becoming more old fashioned. And I think a cool idea that we had the other night was, you know, even the ability to see friends of friends. So it's almost like a second connection on LinkedIn, to where I walk into, let's say you just moved from from Seattle to Greenville, and you and Renee go out by yourselves. You would then be able to see people that are nearby and go, oh, this is George's friend. Yeah. This is Brad's friend.
And you can see that connection. Big deal. Like when I get onto a Google review. So when we moved here, right? Where do we get our Chinese food from? Where do we get our Mexican food from? Bars do we want to go to? You know, to be able to see what Brad says about it without just the randomness of a Yelp telling me 2,000 reviews. Great. That score is a big deal.
A local.
Absolutely. That's a big deal to me. I mean, to be able to have that kind of information.
Be a local in any city you're in.
Personal information, really.
Yeah.
Because there's some level of a personal connection. That's a big deal.
Well, you can take it even a step further to say, I want to go experience the same thing in another city that somebody else experiences. So if I flew to Seattle, even though you don't live in Seattle now, because we're friends on Tabby, I can go run the circuit that you and Renee would go do in Seattle. This is your favorite Mexican restaurant. This is your favorite sushi spot. This is your favorite cocktail bar.
Right.
And it socializes an experience then to say, hey, Ben, George and I are at your favorite place.
Yeah.
And then you would be able to return that and say, oh,
I could probably buy you a drink at that place through Tabby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To then say, oh, you've got to try this bottle of wine.
No, I mean, think about it. You and I, my life changed when I had a new fashion from Neat in downtown Greenville, right?
Yeah.
If I was in town a year ago, and I was at that bar, you could have sent me that new fashion a year before I even got to experience it.
That's an experience.
That's an experience. That's a worthwhile experience.
It's a premium concierge service.
Yeah.
For the user, for free.
Yeah.
Right? The idea that I'm in Ben's favorite wine bar in Seattle that then can create a connection with you, that you can then send me your favorite bottle from your favorite wine shop in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the metaverse, but it humanizes a lot of things.
Right.
And it creates you wouldn't send me $40 for a bottle of wine on Venmo.
No.
But when you,
it's too impersonal.
It's too impersonal. But when it's personal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just think about it, like refereeing in the Pac-12 when I was in the Northwest, I referee soccer, as you know. Refereeing the Pac-12, West Coast, Colorado, I traveled to California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado. Now I have a contract with the SEC and a few other conferences. And so when I travel, I think about a time when I went to San Francisco. I did the University of San Francisco game. And I really wanted good Italian food. So where did I go? I went to Yelp to try to find the best stars. But if I could have found out where my other referee friends that live in San Francisco go, I would have absolutely chosen that bar.
Or that the restaurant. Ability to see that they're out. And you could meet up with them.
Touche. Even better.
Yeah. Exciting stuff happening.
I love it. I love it. I mean, and you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just fun to be a part of, you know, yeah. it's, It's, you know, but bigger than that for me, and again, core value of Tabby, it's about the friendship behind it, you know, and it's about, building community, and that will outweigh anything that a business ever becomes. But the reality is, you know, for just people out in the world, the average person actually considers themselves an average person. The average person out there in the world can be blessed by this. It can encourage community. It can just in a tangible way help their lives and just make it a little more fun, make it a little more spicy, make it a little more knowledgeable about what their community and what their friends are doing when it comes to going out and having dinner. And I don't know. That's just a cool concept to me.
Well, and building a business behind it, not just an app. Hmm. I think the idea, you know, Roy and I have been adamant from the start of let's build a business. And that means, you know, kind of going back to friends in business, it intertwines with accountability. Hmm. You know, if you have a business partner that you can't grab the face mask and say, hey, this is wrong. This is not what we're going to do. This is not how we're going to operate, and vice versa. Or if you have friends that you're close with that are operating your business with you, like you've got to have that accountability to say, you know, yes, there's a CEO and there's a COO and there's a chain of command in the business structure of every business on paper. But the reality is accountability to be able to say, hey man, this is wrong. This is not how we're going to, you know, whatever it is from a directional standpoint, an idea standpoint, you know, how we're going to spend shareholders' money. There's got to be accountability on all fronts. And I think that's the beauty of kind of what we're building with. And Roy uses the word serendipitous a lot, which is really the perfect word, the way, you know, he and I ended up here and then in Florida. And then you and Renee just moving here with, you know, even the relationship being built with TJ and Michelle and, you know, some of our neighbors and some of your neighbors and some of Roy's neighbors. It's building community. And then that expands to local business owners. Yeah, there's two kinds of people, I think, in the world. There's people that talk about people and waste their time on social media and gossip. And then there's people that talk about ideas and how can we evolve things? This is a problem. You know, closing a bar tab is a pain point.
Yeah.
How do I fix that problem? I think the original idea was I was sitting at the rooftop of SIP and I saw two guys watching two girls from across the bar, right? You know, you go watch the mating ceremony that happens. Right. But both wanted to talk to each other, but this generation has gotten so comfortable with the digital introduction, they've almost forgotten. And it's not that they're bad at talking in person. I've heard people say that of like, oh, they just don't know how to talk to each other because they're texting so much. And there is some truth to that. It's the introduction. Once you get them started, they won't stop talking. So I think for Tabby, it's that ability to truly meet people, like you said, to step out of your comfort zone and make that introduction. I think that's what could create some virality.
Mm-hmm. 100%. You know, I mean, that's, again, as an awkward guy like me, to have that tool.
It's funny. I think, as long as I've known you, you're so not awkward.
But. I'm not, you know, but in that setting, I think you and I, the last time we went to a bar together pre-marriage was in,
it was like 2015.
That was in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina. We were staying at the Bennett's house.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember that.
That was like 2011.
It was the first time I almost got in a bar fight. Thankfully, the bouncer grabbed the dude before I knocked him out. I just think about too many stories. We're not going to go there, but
we could do a whole episode on that.
We could do that. No, but you know, it's a guy like me in that setting to have that tool. And I think about my kid. I think about little Ainsley when she's 18 year, in her case, 20 years from now, you know, she's just a babe, but well, I mean, the world's going to be madness by then, but, to have
every generation says that though.
I know
we're our just, parents we're, just,
we're just old, you know, it is
what our
it
parents
is.
Said that too.
I know, but you know, it's interesting, you know, going back a year ago, you know, I didn't think that much about Snapchat or how my 14-year-old was interacting with her friends. I mean, they would obviously come over and they would have normal teenage conversations and stuff, but it was really eye opening actually when my wife and I decided to finally give Emma Snapchat. These kids track each other wherever they are.
It's kind of creepy.
So this morning I was driving Emma to school and we picked up two of her friends. She knew where those two friends were. Now, I'll be honest, we don't allow Emma to show her where she's located, except for to Renee and I, which, well, to me, I don't even have it, but to Renee. But her friends, she knew right where they were. That, as a parent, is concerning, and that's, you know, that's a bigger conversation within Tabby, because I love the protections that are being built within the experience, you know, but it's such a, it was eye-opening to me as I thought more about the broader idea of Tabby and what it means to have the ability to know who is across the bar without knowing their name and seeing them. There is a responsibility that is there with that. And again, it brings me back to this idea that I love the team that is being built that has the care to put in the safeguards that a parent like me can go, I'm comfortable with my kid having this.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with that. But it's, you know, it's as a parent, I can sit there and go, awesome. Love the idea. Love the concept. Protections are there for my 14-year-old, for my 16-year-old, when she turns 18, when she goes off to college and this becomes the norm. Because by the time Emma's in college, Tabby's the thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, by then, may have come and gone.
Who knows? Could be. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. But, you know, a man can dream.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, it's interesting, you know, and you're going to enter the parental world eventually.
Soon.
You know, hopefully, you know, you think about things a little differently.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, Roy has a son and, you know, it's the same thing. So, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just fun to think about all these things and it's fun to be here with you.
Yeah.
You know, I've not been at peace in several years. I mean, we've again on paper, like I said earlier, things were going exceptionally well.
Yeah.
But there was a deeper calling and it was something that was unable to be explained at the time. And I think there's been multiple instances in my life where, you know, circumstances have happened that I didn't understand in the moment. My wife and I had multiple miscarriages early in our relationship, or early in our marriage. 2 years later, I'm diagnosed with cancer. And thank goodness we didn't have a one-year-old during that process for Renee's sanity and mine.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it, as we think about and we thought about moving here and transitioning our entire life and our entire family, selling our business, selling everything, we may not even understand all of the reasons why at this point.
And there's a lot happening.
Yeah. And it's so fun.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, Roy talks about serendipity. I get it.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You know, and so I'm excited for the next 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think the core of that is at the end of the day, choosing to walk through life together. And Tabby's going to be a part of that. You know, I see it. You've come up with a brilliant idea. But that brilliant idea doesn't happen without a team. It doesn't happen without support. And given our lives and how long we've known each other, it's going to be successful because you build a good team. And customers are going to be benefit from it because you've built a good team. And the right protections are built in because you've built a good team. And you're doing it. And it's so fun to watch. And I couldn't be prouder than I am of you and what's happening here. And it's just fun to be a part of. You know, my wife gets to be a part of it. My little baby's going to be a part of it. You know, it's just fun, you know, and that's, I think that's what people need to know about Tabby. It's bigger than being able to close your bar tab. And most people won't ever know that there's a bigger, deeper meaning behind Tabby than closing your bar tab and maybe, you know, seeing that cute girl and being able to send her a drink. Great. But that doesn't happen if there's not the team.
It's foundational.
It is.
For the mission, for the vision.
It is.
For everything.
It is.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to do it.
Absolutely.
So you will, you'll be back for Tabby Hour very soon. I think we should make this a pretty normal thing.
Absolutely.
So, Ben Oakley, talk to you soon.
Good times, brother.